Ramsey TV.
I've been thinking about Revelation. Not the book of Revelation, a Revelation all weekend. And I haven't been able to wait to get this camera on and this microphone on to tell you about it. I'm seeing things in two passages of scripture that I've never seen before. Yeah, this is coming from the guy that says we don't need to look for new revelations. The old truths are good enough for us, and they are. But I'm also the guy that says, you know, don't let anybody ever take a passage of scripture and try to make it say something it's not saying. And I am not going to do that today. But what I am going to do is take you to a verse we're all familiar with. And there's something that I thought was in there for years that's not. And the fact that it's not in there is one of the most exciting things I've seen in the scriptures in a long time. The fact that what I thought is in there is not in there. You're going to love it. Then I went to another passage. Actually, this was the first passage that I thought of. And there's a word, another familiar passage. There was a word that I just glossed over and glossed over. I read it hundreds and hundreds of times, but I never stopped on it. But when I considered this word in light of this other passage, I have two things to tell you today about our future, about our expectation that, well, let me just say that it's helped to sustain me through a few difficult days. And I know it's going to do the same for you. This is Martin Sender. Welcome to MCTV. I'm just trying to keep it together here. No, I'm not. I only come across as impassioned and excited if I am. There's no way I can work it up. If in the, even though there might be something that I'm just so deeply moved about, and I can explain it to you with words that will definitely give you that impression, but they're not necessarily, I won't necessarily follow it with emotion unless it happens organically, you see. So don't take my flat emotion here as an indication of, well, you must not have anything good. No, it's not that at all. So let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1. If boasting must be, though it is not expedient, indeed, yet I shall also be coming to apparitions and revelations of the Lord. Our apostle speaking. I'm acquainted with a man in Christ 14 years before this, whether in a body I am not aware or outside of the body I am not aware. God is aware. Such a one was snatched away to the third heaven. Why is this important to us? We're going to experience a similar snatching away. So this is a different circumstance for a different purpose, obviously, but the same exact words are used here. Harpazo, the same word, snatched away to the third heaven. The third heaven is not like an elevator heaven, like you're now at the second heaven, you are now at the third heaven, you know, and you wait to come to the fourth heaven. No, it's not. It's the third heaven in time, not in space. There are three heavens and three earths. We're on the second earth, and the third earth is the Aeon 5 earth. That is the earth upon which the New Jerusalem comes during Aeon 5. After this earth, this is earth number 2. Earth number 2 is in Aeon 3. Earth number 2 continues into Aeon 4. Earth number 2 is destroyed after Aeon 4, and there's a new earth. And Paul went to the heaven associated with the new earth. John was transported to the earth. He never saw things like what Paul. See? You see what I... He never saw things like what Paul saw. But let me finish reading this and you'll see where I'm going. I am acquainted with such a man. Whether in the body or outside of the body, I am not aware. God is aware that he was snatched away into paradise. Paradise, like a garden. It's a perfect place. Eden was called paradise. And here's ineffable declarations which it is not allowed a man to speak. Over such a one I will be boasting, yet over myself I shall not be boasting except in my infirmities. I'm going to talk about these infirmities in a second, but let's go back here. I have been known to say here that when people ask me, what do you think that third heaven experience was about for Paul? And I said many times that I think Paul saw the body of Christ completed. And I've always say that that's just my thought on the matter. I don't have any scripture for that. Okay, that's always been an opinion, a thought. But now I realize that that is completely wrong. Now, it could be that Paul heard things concerning the completion of the body of Christ. I still believe that. I still believe this has to do with the completion of the body of Christ. But something jumped out at me that I've never seen before, and it is this. Paul didn't see anything. Listen. I am acquainted with a man in Christ 14 years before this who was snatched away to the third heaven. He was snatched away into paradise and hears ineffable declarations which is not allowed a man to speak. Wherefore, lest I should be lifted up by the transcendence of the revelations, they're revelations. The revelations he heard were just that, revelations he heard. Now the question is, why didn't Paul report on anything that he saw? Because Paul didn't see anything. You know how when people are taken into a secret location and the people who are showing them the location, they don't want them to know where they are, so they blindfold them and they take them in a car and they drive them to the location. And then when they get into the place, they can take the blindfold off and they don't know how they got there because it's a secret location. The person who takes them there wants them to see what's there, but they don't want them to see how they got there. Okay, this is like that, except Paul is blindfolded the entire time. Because if he were to have opened his eyes or been allowed to open his eyes. No. Because just the things he heard were described by him as ineffable. Ineffable is a word we don't hear very much in English. It means too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words. Too great to be even described. No human words available. And even if whatever language he heard something, he heard declarations made by, I'm assuming, spiritual beings. I don't know if it was from Christ, from spiritual beings, we don't know. But he heard things said. I still think it had to do with him because he said, lest I be lifted up by the transcendence of the revelation. And the ineffable and transcendence are the most far out words Paul has available to him. And later he talks about a transcendently transcendent aeonian burden of glory. He has no word higher than transcendent, which is over above. Transcendent means over above. He has no other word, so he has to use it in a ridiculous way, in another place, a transcendently, transcendent, aeonian burden of glory. God is working for us, a transcendently transcendent. It's greatly great. It's transcendently transcendent. It's brightly bright. It's stupid. language be, but Paul has no other word except ineffable. But ineffable, all that tells us is that whatever he heard was so beyond anything he could have dreamed of. And I'm out of words too. I'm a writer. I'm a man of words, and I'm struggling here. It was so beyond that he said it's almost like even if he wanted to, he couldn't have done it because he has no other words other than ineffable and transcendent. That's all he's got. And even today, we don't have any words bigger than this to describe something that's humanly indescribable. So great was it. Paul never saw anything. He was kept blindfolded the entire time. When I say blindfolded, I don't mean a literal cloth on his eyes. Maybe I do. I don't not mean that. I just mean that he was not allowed to look. Because if he had looked, ladies and gentlemen, there are things laid up for us that if God heard our wildest imaginations about it, he would roll his eyes. This from a man who saw Christ on the road to Damascus and described it in Acts 26:13. He said, I perceived a light from heaven, quote, above the brightness of the sun. I perceived a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. He perceived it. So this man has seen Jesus Christ glorified. Don't we always say that? He never saw Christ in the flesh. He never saw him in his body of humiliation, but he saw Christ glorified. Did he? No. He didn't see the glorified Christ. I got to think of a new way to describe it. He saw a Christ more glorified than the man from Nazareth, for sure. But this was a way scaled down. Even the light that blinded him was a way scaled down glory of Christ. And I believe that our apostle was in the vicinity when he went to the third heaven of the actual glory of Christ. And that would have been impossible to contain. Even the words that were given him, the ineffable declarations, he could apprehend them in a way, he could understand them. They were understandable to him, but he could not describe them. I used to say it was because he was, I just say he was not allowed to speak. You know, he wasn't allowed to speak, but I think even if he was allowed to speak, if they're ineffable, then they're beyond words. Then they're too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words. But I think Paul was in the vicinity, the literal geographic vicinity of the throne of Christ, which he was not allowed to look at. And we're all amazed by the light that blinded the man that he perceived that shone all about him, light brighter than the sun. And we say that was the glorified Christ. No. That was scaled down many, 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 many times. Paul could barely handle the declarations. Paul did not see a damn thing when he went to the third heaven because it was too much. And I'm going to now take you to a verse, Ephesians 3:20, to show you a word here. As soon as I read it, I think you'll see it. We've read the verse many times. I've never concentrated on this word. We're looking at verses, and we're just ringing them of the glory that's in them, not trying to recast them, not trying to redescribe them, not trying to pervert them to fit some new idea we have. We are looking at what God said, and we are praying always for revelation. Give us new insights. Let us grow in realization and revelation of the truth. And God says, okay, why haven't you concentrated on this word? Ephesians 3:20. Now, to him who is able to do super excessively above all that we are requesting or apprehending. According to the power that is operating in us, to him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus for all the generations of the eon of the eons. Amen. I say, yeah, Martin, okay, you've read that verse to us before. I want you to look at it again. I'm going to read it again. Look at it again in light of what I just shared with you from 2 Corinthians 12, that Paul never saw anything. To him who was able to do super excessively, that's not the word, above all that we are requesting or apprehending. 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 Above all that we are apprehending. In our wildest imagination, just let me give you an example. What have I said over and over in recent years? I said that when we're snatched away, we are going to return to this earth and help our loved ones through the tribulation. Sorry, it's hot here. And people ask me, what proof do you have? I said, I don't have direct scriptural proof. But I have three scriptures that are suggestive of it, that we will be coming back to earth to help our loved ones make it through the tribulation, protect them, shield them, inform them. And you say, well, what are they, Martin? It was the fact that, I remind you again, Joseph and his brothers, he went to Egypt to be glorified, to be a provider, and he did not forget his brothers. In this case, Joseph brought his brothers to where he was. Okay, well, that's good, right? But the point is that he didn't forget his family. And in fact, one of the purposes of his glorification was to feed his family, save them from death. To save them from death. Joseph is a dim type of Christ and of us. We are being prepared. We are now in bondage in Egypt. But we are going to be glorified. We are going to be brought up to the throne room. And from there, our brothers will seek us. Our friends will seek us. But in this case, we will go to them, that they will not starve, so that they will not die. I have that, and I have Jesus Christ. After he's raised from the dead, he returns for 40 days to his disciples. He doesn't leave them. He goes to heaven, presents his work, his blood to the Father, and he could stay there and just revel in his new glory, greater glory, subsequent to the awfulness of the cross. But no, what does he do? He comes back down, takes the form of humanity again in order to help his friends. Okay, that's pretty suggestive that we'll do the same thing. And the third verse I use is this one. To him who was able to do super excessively above all that we are requesting. I've focused on that word. So I'm requesting. Oh, he could be able to do above all we are able to request. I'm requesting, Lord, please use me and the rest of the members of the body of Christ. Use us to help our loved ones through the tribulation. This will not only be a help for them then, but it's a help for us now, because many of us mourn and we're sad and we don't want to leave our loved ones. We feel it's irresponsible. And part of that, Lord, it's causing us to maybe not look forward as much to the snatching away as we should or as we could. We want to glory in it, but we can't get over this angst over our loved ones, okay? We know they're not believers, but we know they're not going to be snatched away, but we hate to think about what's going to happen to them because we know about the trials of the tribulation. So I pray, and we pray, God, please let us help them. You know what God is doing? God is hearing the prayer, and he's rolling his eyes. Like, I don't believe it. He's not rolling his eyes at the audacity that we would request such a thing. He's rolling his eyes at, is that the greatest thing these people can come up with? Like, that's all they want? Like, they have some kind of doubt that I'm going to do that? They think that I wouldn't do that? When this verse says that he is able to do super excessively above all that we are requesting. If I can request it, and if I can apprehend it, then it's more than that. And now this verse makes me even more confident in at least that. But again, God's rolling his eyes at the smallness of our request. Why? Because we can't apprehend anything else. Above all that we are requesting or apprehending, to understand, to grasp, there. How do I say this? When Paul went to the third heaven, he was equipped to apprehend, to understand. There was nothing in his experience that would understand what he would see if he opens his eyes. Nothing. Nothing. Not any of his schooling, not any of his life experiences. It was even almost too much that he heard these declarations that were so extreme, so great, that they couldn't be expressed or described in words. But there was nothing. He wasn't equipped, even if he was shown the full glory of the third heaven, he wouldn't have been able to have apprehended it. It was so beyond anything his mind was equipped to deal with. His mind, his intellect, which was great, his imagination, which was probably great, wasn't equipped to deal with what he would have seen were God to have allowed him to look at the third heaven or the true glory of Christ. And so what God has in store for us, even if he told us now, and I'm not talking about scaling it back to the language of ants, I'm saying even if he told us it, and I think that's close to what Paul dealt with, we might have been able to grasp it, but not express it. But I'm talking about something that can't even be grasped by the human mind. Something that even if it were shown us, it's too great to be understood. Too great to be put in any context, because there is absolutely no context. Nothing we have seen so far on this earth, no marvel of flower or plant or animal or space or constellation or atom or cell or anything on the entire planet and the entire world, even in our imagination, nothing has at this point prepared us or given us any kind of context for the glory that is going to be revealed. And I've said this before, and this is what this confirms this now more and more for me. This really confirms it, of why we need new bodies. We need new bodies and new minds that go with it, the mind of Christ, in order to apprehend the glory. And no matter what great thing you can think of, oh, it's going to be lots of treasure, lots of light, big cities with glowing streets and eminences, the 24 elders, will be bowing down to us, and we will hear the voice of angels and the body of Christ, all of that. The only reason you can even describe that in words is because it fits some context, something you see on TV, the Oscars, or some beauty pageant, or a play, or something, a symphonic orchestra, something, it fits something you're aware of, you've heard of, you can relate to, you have a context for. But what God has for us, we have no context to apprehend it. So it goes without saying that there's no way we could request it. How can you request something that you don't even know about? We don't even know about it. See, this is where faith comes in. And people ask me, are you excited about the snatching away? And I said, I can't get excited about it. Because I know it's going to be so great that there's no context for me to understand it. And so I wait for it with patience. Don't mistake that for not being aware that there is something out there for us, that our bodies have to be changed for us to comprehend it. And so I'm just without words. And so I'm without almost proper emotion. How can I have the proper emotion? How can I have the proper response? I can't, for something that I have no, that I can't even imagine. And that even if I could imagine it, it's beyond my powers of apprehension. I'll just close with this. And it was after Paul had gone to the third heaven. After that, he said, wherefore I delight in infirmities. After that, after he heard these declarations of the height and the glory of what he would be coming into with the rest of the body of Christ, which I still maintain has to do something with the body of Christ complete. Paul heard truths related to the body of Christ being complete. When he came back, it was at that time, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12. Wherefore, I delight in infirmities and outrages and necessities and persecutions and distresses. These things, after that, were nothing to him. See, we know that Paul has said that before. It's like, I delight in outrages. Who delights in outrages? Who delights in distress? Who delights in infirmities and necessities? Who delights in persecutions and being dragged off and tied to a post and beaten? Who delights in that? After this experience, Paul didn't feel anything. Paul didn't feel anything anymore. It was nothing to Paul. He was like in another world. His mind was in another world. They couldn't do anything to him after that. It was just a joy to him. Let's go after another whipping. That's exactly how the man felt in light of this. In light of this, his problems became nothing. No, his problems, it's not that they became nothing. He actually, these are the man's words, he delighted in his problems. That's what we're coming into. Now, that's what we're coming into. Maybe we can taste a little bit of that delight even now in this eon.